There we go. Oh, wow. Man, this has been an awesome service today, hasn't it? Wow. Man, I just love those baptisms. Wasn't that incredible? Hey, let me just tell you something. Over the last several weeks, there have been 12 youth that have made a profession of faith to Jesus Christ. 12 in the last couple of weeks. Praise the Lord for what God's doing. I know that there are a lot of people who talk about revival. I talk about revival. And a lot of folks are saying, hey, you know, when we see this last revival of the Lord, this movement of God, it's going to be led by youth. I wanted to come out of that room right there. I wanted to come out of our upper room, youth room, whatever they call that place. I want our youth to be as much a part of the move of God in this last days as any other youth group anywhere else. And I'm excited about what God is doing in their lives. We're glad that you're here today. I appreciate you being here. And just all the good things. Appreciate Brad sharing earlier and just the wonderful opportunity that we've got to minister to Hope Center and just to bring that tremendous ministry here to Spirit Life Church, to bring it to the city of Tulsa, and to just to begin to dream about how we get to impact so many lives. We've been talking about impacting lives through advancing the kingdom over the last several weeks, and we talked about things like last Sunday. We talked about advancing the kingdom through hope, through the Hope Center Ministries. We talked about advancing the kingdom through outreach, and we talked about a lot of the different areas of outreach that we have here at Spirit Life Church, where we're really trying to make a difference, really trying to make an impact in people's lives. We've been blessed, amen. How many of you know we've been blessed? And we've been blessed to be a blessing to others who are in need, and so we give and we pour out. And we serve and we reach out to advance the kingdom of God. One of the Sundays we talked about advancing the kingdom through faithful stewardship, and we really tried to define what it is to be a steward of all that God has given us. And basically it starts with an understanding that I own nothing, that God owns everything. And how many of you know that if your daddy owns everything, that makes you rich, even if you got nothing, right? And so we're rich in God and all of his blessings in our life, that we know that he's taking care of us. We can trust him to take care of all of our needs. And then he says, and I trust you, not only am I going to give you stuff to take care of your needs, but I'm going to give you a little extra, and I'm going to trust you to use that to advance my kingdom. Today I want to talk about advancing the kingdom through rich generosity. And I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And there's this beautiful story that's told here where the Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinthian believers about an offering that they had started to receive for the church that was in Jerusalem. There was a famine that was taking place in that part of the world. The believers that were there, that were a part of the church, they were really suffering as a result of that. And so where Paul had been going out and scattering the seed of the gospel and planting churches in the various countries and cities in that area, now he's reaching out to them and saying, hey, you know, it all started in Jerusalem. And if it wasn't for what had happened in Jerusalem, you basically wouldn't even exist. But now you're there, and you get a chance to give back to where it all started from. You get a chance to be a blessing. And so they had begun, but something had interrupted that offering. And so now Paul is coming back, and he's saying, hey, I want to come back to that offering again. I want to give you another chance to complete what you started. And the Apostle Paul wants to really kind of give an example for the Corinthian believers about giving. He wants to help them and encourage them, kind of just let them see it. And so he says, turn and look at the screen and watch this about the Macedonian church. And he played this video. Okay, so he didn't really play a video. But he would have. I believe he really would have. Had it been available then. So he does the next best thing. He tells the story. And it's told here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's read it together. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in, say it with me, rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. I love that phrase, ministry of giving. How many of you, you know, sometimes you've dreamed about being in the ministry? I want to tell you, there's a ministry in giving, Paul says. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. Now, when we think about the Corinthian church, there's a couple of passages that may jump out to you. Can you remember anything about the Corinthians? Maybe you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, where Paul is really encouraging these believers to mature in love toward one another. And because we're Pentecostals, we know what happens on the first half and the back half of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There's chapters 12 and chapter 14 that talk about the spiritual gifts and how that they're supposed to be a part of our lives as believers. And so the Apostle Paul wants the church to not only mature in love and grow in love, but he wants us to mature and grow in the use of the spiritual gifts. And then in the midst of all of that, Paul says this incredible thing. He says, you know, I've talked to you about love. Just read verse 7 again. He says, since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, in your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your love from us, I want you to also excel in this grace of giving. In other words, he's saying to us, as important as all of those other things are, if you're going to be a really well-rounded, full-grown, mature disciple in Jesus Christ, you can't just have great faith and have gifts of the Spirit and learn how to love without also embracing this gift of generosity, this gift of giving. And so he says, I want you to excel. You're excelling. You're doing great in all these other areas. I want to see you have that chance to really grow up and really excel in this area as well. And my prayer for you as your pastor today is the same as Paul's prayer for those Corinthian believers, is that as you're doing well in many things in your life, as you're growing up in the Lord, as you're maturing, as you're becoming more and more like Jesus, that you are fully well-rounded in your discipleship, and that this area of giving, this area of generosity is not minimized or overlooked, but that you're growing in that as well, because that is just such an important part of who we are as believers. You know, I know that there are some pastors, some churches that kind of shy away from talking about money and giving, and I think probably part of the reason is the churches have gotten a bad rap over that. Some preachers have. And maybe it wasn't even really a bad rap. Maybe it was a real rap. Because there have been some who have used Scripture. They've manipulated it. They've twisted it. They've tried to use it in a way that God never intended. And their whole purpose was, I'm trying to, you know, pad my pockets. And so whatever I can milk out of you, you know, I'm just going to bless me. And we, when we ever see something like that, we just know how ugly that is. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the body of Christ, the believers, really understanding this concept of stewardship, that everything belongs to God. He's given me certain things that I need. But then he's also blessed me with extra and says, now steward this to advance advance the kingdom. That's what we're doing here at Spirit Life Church. When you hear us talking about a Hope Center, when you hear us talking about Celebrate Recovery, when you hear us talking about Living in Victory Ministries, when you hear us showing these baptisms from the youth, when you see the great things that's happening in our children's ministry, when we look at our outreach and all the various things, what are we doing? We are furthering, we're advancing the kingdom of God, and you know, it takes a little bit of money to make all of that happen. So this morning, I want to really share with you a couple of things that's found here in the text that I think will help us as we mature in this richness of generosity. The first thing that I want you to see here is that if we're going to advance the kingdom of God through rich generosity, that we have to give voluntarily. Your giving is voluntary. Look at verses 2 and 3. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. Not that they did it because somebody tried to force them to do it, not because somebody tried to make them feel guilty. How many times have you done things in your life, not necessarily giving, you just done whatever because you're just going along with what everybody else was doing, but your heart wasn't really in it, or because somebody tried to twist your arm and force you into it, or try to make you feel guilty about it? The Apostle Paul is here making it very clear that when we talk about giving, that mature giving is voluntary. It's not coerced, it's not forced, and because it's voluntary, that's where the blessings come. The blessings come out of that. You know, you could do something, but you could do it with a nasty attitude. I mean, I'm not saying that any of you would ever do anything with a nasty attitude. Do not look at the person sitting beside of you right now. This would not be a good time. Just maintain contact here up at the front. But if you do something with the wrong attitude, there's no blessing in that, right? God's not going to reward you. He did it, but he just really didn't want to. I guess I'm going to bless him anyhow. No, well, God wants you to do it. He wants you to do it for the right reasons. And this voluntary, just doing it because you want to. In 2 Corinthians, the next chapter, chapter 9, verse 7, Paul goes on and says, you must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. You ought to be happy when you give. If when you give, it puts a frown on your face, something's not right in your heart. Voluntary and cheerful, those two words go together. I think the opposite of that would be selfish or fearful and greedy. Did you know there are a lot of people who live in fear today? And there's probably no area of our life that will manifest that we're living out of fear any more than our finances. Because we say, well, I'll trust God with this, I'll trust God with that, I trust God with this part of my life and with that part of my, God, I trust you with, you know, my family, I trust you with my health, I trust you with my forgiveness of my sins, I trust you with my eternal life in heaven, but God, I'm not so sure I can trust you with my finances. And I don't think that most people, when they fail to give, do so saying out loud, God, the reason why I'm not giving is because I just don't trust you. But the reality is, a lot of times, that's really what's going on in their heart, is I'm just not sure I can trust God. I mean, if I give this thing that the Lord's asking me to give away, if I bless somebody else like the Lord's asking me to, if I do that, then I don't know that I'm going to have enough to pay the bills at the end of the week or whatever else it might be in our life. And so this thing of giving really highlights, it focuses, it puts a microscope on our relationship with God. And do I really trust God with my whole heart, with all of my life, with everything that's in me? Do I trust God? The other thing that can be a problem when it comes to giving is greed. Just being greedy. I just want more. You know, I think sometimes we're kind of like the kid in the candy store or the kid in the aisle at the toy department. I want that, and I want that, and I want that, and I want that. And God said, no, you can't have all of that. Y'all being really quiet here this morning. I'm talking about your money, right? No, I'm talking about God's money. Don't mess that up. I'm still talking about God's money.
And so sometimes we go through life with this greed inside of us, and we don't even know it. Because most of us, come on, if I said, are you a greedy person? I don't think anybody in the room would raise their hand and say, yep, I'm greedy. I'm greedy. You know, the Grinch, he was, you know, not me. I'm not greedy. I love to help people and what have you. But do we really? You know, the Bible says that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It doesn't necessarily say he's going to supply all of our wants. I think God's a generous God, and he gives us some of the stuff that we want. Anybody ever known God to give you something that you didn't necessarily need, but you wanted it, and God just blessed you with it? Come on, somebody wave your hand at me. Yeah, hands waving all over the room. God's just a good God that way. But it doesn't mean that he's going to always give us everything we want, but he's going to supply our needs. I remember hearing of a father who, his daughter had tied a string to her tooth and was in the process of tying the other to a doorknob. He said, hold on, before you do that, let me check your tooth. And he checks the tooth and he says, there's nothing wrong with your tooth. It's not loose. You don't need to pull that tooth out. And she says, leave me alone, Dad. I need some money. Waiting for the tooth fairy, I guess, you know, the only way she knew. And now listen, this is the dad who's going to take care of all her needs. I'm sure this girl's got a house to live in. She's got food on the table. She's wearing clothes. She's got, our needs are met, but she's got these wants that she has, and she's willing to do some pretty drastic things. I know you're probably thinking, well, I'd never do anything like that. I wouldn't yank out a tooth but what kind of things have you done? And what have we been guilty of? Where have we shown a lack of faith and lack of obedience to the Lord and saying, I'm not going to do that, God, even though you asked me to do it because, you know, I want that new thing in my life. We need to be careful and not let greed get the best of us. Ecclesiastes 5 and 10 said, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever has wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. That's Ecclesiastes. Larry Burkett, some of you might recognize the name Larry Burkett. He did a lot of teaching on finances, courses on finances in heaven today. But he often did counseling with different people. And when they would have financial troubles, he would ask them, what do you think would fix your financial problem? What do you think most people said? More money. More money. They didn't say, I need more discipline. They didn't say, I need to learn how to stop buying everything that I see that I want compulsively. They didn't say, I need to learn not to use my credit card just because it's available. Amen? Amen? Y'all being quiet on me. I'm talking about God's money now, not your money. They didn't say, I need to learn how to be more disciplined. No, I need to be more mature. No, I need to trust God. No, I need to give more. No, they said, I just need more money. The guy that's making $30,000 thinks, if I could just make $35,000, it would solve all my financial problems. But then when he makes $35,000, he says, if I could just make $40,000. It would solve all of my, and then when he gets to 40, if I could just make 50, that would solve all my financial problems. See, let me make a statement here. Money problems are rarely money problems. Now, can you guys put that up? Because that's just so good. I want it on the screen. Money problems are rarely money problems. Usually, they're discipline problems, they're saving problems, they are maturity problems, they are greed problems, they are fear problems. I'm not saying that financial things don't happen in our life and we find ourselves in trouble every once in a while, but most of the time, if we were being wise with what God has given us, if we were following biblical principles, we would already have enough in savings to cover most of those unexpected events in our life. The problem is not more money. The problem is learning how to trust God and to grow and to mature in this area of giving. So the first thing that I want you to understand about giving and how these Macedonians gave in the example is that they gave voluntarily. I want you to do it. When you give, when the offering is passed, when it's time to give, I want you to do it cheerfully and voluntarily. I want you to bring the tithe that already belongs to the Lord. I want you to bring it back to Him voluntarily, not because somebody's trying to twist your arm or force you. When you bring that extra offering, do it voluntarily. Second thing, give as God has blessed you. Give as God has blessed you. Don't try to match somebody else's gift. Don't try to give on their level of giving. You give the way God has blessed you. If God has blessed you with this much, then you give like that. If God's blessed you this much, you give like that. If God's blessed you this much, then give like that. Give as God has blessed you. Look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8:12. If you are eager to give, it isn't important how much you're able to give. God wants you to give what you have, not what you don't have. Nobody's asking you to give what you don't have. If God hasn't given it to you to give away, then you're under no responsibility. You just give what you have. And Mark tells a couple of stories about people who gave. One is in Mark chapter 14 about a time where Jesus is at a meal and a lady comes in the room and she breaks open an expensive bottle of perfume. It was valued at a year's wages. So maybe, you know, I don't know what a year's wage for you is. If it's 25, if it's 50, if it's $75,000, anyhow, it was a lot of money back in those days. It was a lot of money. And she broke it out and she poured it out on Jesus. And Jesus said, she's anointed my head, my body for burial. What was going on? She gave what she had to give. She didn't give what somebody else had to give. She didn't ask anybody else to give what she gave. She just gave what she had to give. Jesus gives another parable in Mark chapter 12, or not a parable, he's talking. He's at the temple, and the people are bringing their tithes, they're bringing their offerings to the treasury. And Jesus sees this one lady who brings in a widow's mite, and he said, she's given more than they all. She's given more than they all. Some of them gave a lot more financially, you might say, but she gave more because she gave out of what she had. Out of the little that she had, she gave it as an act of offering, as voluntary, as an act of worship and love to the Lord. So I just want to encourage you to give as the Lord has blessed. And the Bible gives us how to give as we are blessed through the principle of the tithe. You see, the tithe isn't an amount of money. The tithe is a percent of money. It's 10%. So if you got $100, you give 10. If you got $1,000, you give 100. That's the standard, and that's the beginning. And then everything on top of that is where we begin to move into abundant giving. Now, let me just share one last thing, and I'm going to close. And maybe this is the beginning, because really it was the first thing for the Macedonians, and that is give yourself first to the Lord. Give yourself first to the Lord. Look at verse 5. Best of all, they went beyond our highest hopes, for their first action was to dedicate themselves to the Lord. Look at that. Their first action was to dedicate themselves to the Lord. Can I tell you that giving is not going to make any sense at all until you first dedicate yourself to the Lord? But when you dedicate yourself to the Lord, when you do what Jesus said when he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. When you dedicate yourself, when you give yourself to the Lord, this giving thing, it comes out of a relationship with Jesus. Giving is not about a relationship with a church. It's not about a relationship with a pastor. Giving is, it flows out of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Give yourself first to the Lord. You know, going back to this baptism this past Wednesday night, those 8 kids, as they're submersed into the water, the Bible describes it as a picture of a watery grave, that they're dead to the old them that doesn't exist anymore. That old person is now dead. When I was baptized, the old Tommy is dead. But then we come out of the water, and it's a symbolism of resurrection, new life. We're a new person in Christ Jesus. I heard the story of a man who was about to be baptized, and he realized that he still had his wallet in his pocket. And he said, hold on, Pastor, and he reached back in his back. He held the wallet up over his head. He says, okay, now you can baptize me. And so he's being baptized with the wallet not going under the water. Now, I'm not sure if that was a spiritual thing for him or if it was just he didn't want his wallet to get wet. I want to tell you, when you're baptized, when you submit, when you commit, when you dedicate yourself first to the Lord, you love God with all your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with everything that God has blessed you with. It belongs to Him. Would you stand with me this morning? Can I just close with one more scripture? In 2 Corinthians again, chapter 9, verse 8. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Here's the example of rich generosity. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that by His poverty He can make you rich. Jesus, the author, the creator of everything, the one who framed the world, spoke everything into existence that is, laid it all down, gave it all up, said, I'm willing to die on a cross so that you can have the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life. He paid your debt. He paid all your sin debt. At the cross, you're free. I'm so thankful. I am so thankful for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You that You want us to abound in every good work. Lord, You want us to excel in all of these areas of our lives. And that includes this act of giving. Help us, Lord, to give ourselves first to You. To have that relationship with You. Lord, to really trust You. To not live in greed or in fear. But Lord, to learn how to voluntarily, cheerfully give as You have prospered and blessed us. And Lord, I thank You again for Your great gift, this gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Isn't it wonderful that we get to be generous because of His generosity? That we serve a very generous God. That He is high and holy. He's the judge of the entire world, and He decided that He knew we could not pay our own debt to Him. And so in His generous nature, He said, Son, I want you to go down there and I want you to pay the debt in full. Pay everyone's debt. Pay everyone's debt. Everybody that will believe in You and turn from their own ways and will commit their lives to Me through You, through believing in You, I'm going to forgive their debt. There's no other gospel. There's no other good news. There's no other way to eternal life with God and not eternal life apart from God. And so the reason why we're here today is because our debts are paid. The reason why we have confidence in our heart, peace when we lay down, peace when we drive, peace as time goes in and out. We have answers, we have wisdom, we have help. Why? because our debts were paid. And he made us his own. Amen. Maybe with every eye closed and head bowed, maybe you're here today and you're saying, I don't have that peace. I don't have that confidence that my debt was paid and that I'm all his. If that's you today, I'd like to invite you to join his family, to be his follower, to commit your life to him voluntarily. And in return, he says, I will forgive you. I'll have mercy on you, and I will help you, and I'll take you in as my own. If that's you today, just wave at me. I'd love to pray with you. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? This is the definitive moment. Okay. Well, let's all pray with our brothers and sisters that are raising their hands. So we all say, Father, I thank you for your generosity. That by your word, you sent your son to pay my debt, that I might be made clean, that I might be healed. And so, through your son, I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for your mercy. I ask that you would make me whole. Make me yours from this day forward. Teach me your will. Teach me to obey you. Help me to come to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Today I'm yours forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God some praise there. It says, heaven rejoices when one sinner turns their way. We have some angels rejoicing today. If I could have our prayer team join me up here up front. You might be on the other side of that log. And you say, I am God's. I'm a part of his family. But I need some help. I need some prayer. I need some grace in my life. The Bible says that, or Jesus said it. He said, where two or more are gathered, touching and agreeing on anything in prayer, he'll do it on our behalf. And so we have some amazing people that would love to pray with you and to just agree with you in faith that he will do and help you in anything that you need. So let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for this wonderful Thanksgiving week. I ask right now blessing. I ask that you'd keep us sane with all of our family members and friends coming. I ask for your help and that our hearts would be filled with joy and gratefulness this week. Bless the spiritual family in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Bless you.